Blog Talk Radio.
Simultaneously video and audio broadcasting. For those of you with us on Blog Talk, there is a chat that will give you the link, and it's very long and be impossible to repeat, but the link is there on Blog Talk Radio. And for those of you who want to join us and you can't get to the Blog Talk chat, go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and look at the top link. It says radio. Click there, double click on that radio link. Thank you, Moon, for that reminder about recording. Absolutely. I would have forgotten. So go to that link on Sound Health Options Radio, and you can read our guest's bio. Because we're going to have a very innovative time today. Really, thank you for being with us. I know your time is precious in this world of hurry up and slow down. So our attempt is to make your life a little easier. On the show, we're attempting to bring you information and ideas in support of self-health. We do have our guests on the line. And, you know, I love it. Those of you who came in early, you got to hear how we put the show together, how we panic when we can't get our guests, when the radio or the television or the radio or the internet just doesn't help us in trying to get ourselves together. So good that you're here. We're sponsored today by Sound Health Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. That's an educational research center located in southeastern Ohio, a little town called Albany, and I mean little, little town, less than 1,000 people there. So if you're ever near, just stop by. We're there most of the time. Wanted to tell you about a class that we did yesterday on allergies. It was a 2-hour class, wonderful class, about how to self-test yourself for allergies, and we provided the software, the textbooks, and the charts for you. That's waiting for you on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, right on the front page. Last Saturday, Saturday before, we did a class on bio diet. So that's there for you, too. We've recorded those. They will be there for about 10 days where you can still get the software. So for those of you who are listening to us and you're having a bit of trouble listening to us, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and listen. And that phone number is 347-850-1407. So if you're having trouble hearing us on our WebEx, if you've got an invitation to that, then go over to Blog Talk and listen. Our guest today is Doreen Davis. She is multi-degreed, has extensive training in many aspects of speech and hearing and caring. She comes from the conventional field, her background, and has added many new and innovative techniques to what the world had to offer. She's very creative. She's a hard worker. She's tenacious. She's caring. She's innovative. She's a survivor in the School of Hard Knocks, a mother, a grandmother. She's a proprietor of the Davis Center in New Jersey. Is it Suskasuna? Is that how you pronounce that city?
Sakasana. Sakasana. We have the Lenni Lenape Indians to thank for that.
Sakasana. Okay. Doreen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you have many, many innovations, but we are not a tech audience. So let's start at the beginning of how you were working with hearing and speech and communication in challenged children and adults. And let's take your history and move right on up to your new book, your third, I think.
No, fifth.
Fifth book. I only know three.
Yeah, you don't know my earlier ones. Those are about middle ear infections. That was my specialty before I ever got involved in sound-based therapies.
So you come from the school system, right?
Well, you asked about my background. It's funny because in my new book, I lay it all out. I was drawn to this field. I just never realized it from my early times in my life. And I just didn't put all the pieces together until I got to the end of my life, so to speak. But I was always going to be an actress. And so I had done summer stock. I was working towards my actor's equity card. That's where I was going. And I went to college, and where I went to college, because I wanted to major in drama, I was forced to have a double major in speech and hearing and speech and drama. So I figured, well, okay, well, I'm just going to be an actress anyway. I'm sure this stuff won't hurt, but I had to have that double major. Well, very soon into my four-year career of college, I said, well, I want to be a mother someday. It's going to be harder to be, a home mom, being an actress, that kind of thing. Maybe I could look at this other side because I'm really interested in it, which was the hearing piece. So I went on to get my master's because a lot of the things that I was interested in, there was no study coursework study for what I was interested in. So you always had to kind of guide yourself in a path. So I got a double master's in deaf education and audiology. And so when I graduated, I became an audiologist in a school system and along the way helped define the field of what's called educational audiology. And I was the past president of our national organization, Educational Audiology Association. And I was 25 years in the school system. When I was in working in the school system, I was always, and I always have, obviously, as I look back at it, more interested in what do you do with what you were hearing at that time. Now it's what do you do with the sound process. But I also became what was called a rehabilitative audiologist, looking again at helping people use their hearing function. After 18 years as in that position, because of budget cuts, I kept getting cut back. And so before I, quote, retired from the school system, because I had numerous other credentials by that time, I was a gazelle development specialist, early development language, speech and hearing, but also general education, I decided I was going to teach kindergarten for the last 3 years, which was fun. And while I was teaching kindergarten, I was also developing my own company. And so when I left the school system, I transitioned into my own business doing, because I had a friend who was a speech pathologist, and I was doing the audiology parts of it. But in 1992, while I was still consulting in audiology, I was asked by a local school for autistic children to go get trained in this therapy coming over from France. And I researched it, and I said, no, thank you. I'm pretty much science-based here. That was a little far out for me. And they said, please, we trust your judgment. We would appreciate it if you could go get trained in it and let us know what you think. So I decided I would do that, and it changed me for life, that course, because I came away from the class saying, wow, these people can't tell me what's happening, why it's happening, what's going on, And that wasn't good enough for me, so I started back then to do a lot of in-house research. And I did two specific research projects when I came back to my office. One was measuring something physiologically in the body, and the other was perceptually in the body as far as it relates to the ear and hearing function. And I found, after doing this on 250 subjects, that 91% of the people I was doing this method on, I was physiologically changing a muscle response in the people. Perceptually, I was making some change, but not as significant as I was with the physiological response. So I thought, oh, that's really interesting. And I had been hearing about some of the other programs because a lot of people just think, as you know, sound is sound and it's got to be all the same stuff. And so I started to get certified in some of these other programs and quickly learned that they were not all doing the same thing, that something was different happening with each one of them. And coincidentally, on the way, there was a woman from New Jersey whose name is Kathy, who came to me, to my office, and started telling me about this crazy lady from Ohio who had a very unique approach. Okay, this is interesting. Then I had another client who came to me and was telling me about both her son and her mother, and I connected those two people together. As I didn't know where it was taking them, it wasn't going to impact me at that time. So I just continued.
Mm-hmm. Doreen, are you on a speakerphone? People are complaining they can't understand you very well.
No, I'm not on a speakerphone.
So you're on a handheld. Okay.
Do you want me to try to call on it? I can call back under a different phone.
No, we'll just deal with it this way. I will try to rearrange the microphones here.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry I had to interrupt.
No, I appreciate that. I understand totally. Sound is important and listening is important. So I connected these two people to learn about you, and I didn't know where it would go. And in the meantime, I just kept getting trained and interested and found some fascinating things out about all these various methods. And then the company that I had back then was called Here You Are, H-E-A-R, and it was a mail order catalog for assistive devices for the deaf and hard of hearing. And I had also had an area of the company that was educational products that could support people with learning challenges.
I'm going to have to interrupt again, Doreen.
Mm-hmm.
People are still complaining about the sound. For those of
you want me to try to call back?
No. For those of you with us on WebEx, I'm putting in a phone number. Please go to Blog Talk Radio if you want the sound to be more clear. People are reporting it's absolutely clear and wonderful on Blog Talk, so just dial in at 347-850-1407. And the audio on Blog Talk is great and wonderful. So that means it's not anything on your end, Doreen.
Oh, good.
WebEx combination. We do have a couple of questions that have come in that we are looking at the Davis Center. People want to know about some of your case studies. Some people want to know about how it's different from conventional. What you'd really do if someone came to your center. I mean, that's a lot to ask you to answer all at once. So,
no, I appreciate those questions, because where I was going with my other story was bringing it to where the Davis Center is now. So thank you for that.
Okay.
Over the past 20 years, what I had the opportunity to do was look at all these various therapies that I'm credentialed in and figure out that they weren't doing the same thing. So it has evolved into the Davis model of sound intervention. And the premise behind the Davis model of sound intervention is three parts. One is that there is a subtle energy system that I identified last year and presented to the ICEM conference that exists between our voice, the ear, and the brain. They're comprised of five laws that help support that. Three of them were established over 60 years ago by Dr. Alfred Tomatis, and known as the Tomatis effect, which basically tells you your voice produces what your ear hears, And if you reintroduce this correcting sound to your ear, the voice regains stability. The other two laws are my laws that I presented back in 2004 called the Davis Addendum to the Tomatis Effect. And what I measured was the output of the ear. And I took the frequencies coming from the ear, measured it with the through vocal analysis with your help, and was able to again say if you reintroduce the correcting frequencies to the ear, your voice regains stability. So that's a very, very, very important piece of what I do, this voice-ear-brain connection, the subtle energy system. The second is that every cell in your body resonates, giving its own particular frequency. And, of course, with the science of bioacoustics, we know that those frequencies can be identified with vocal analysis where they may be out of balance. And the third is the way I look at the ear. I look at the ear not as a hearing mechanism anymore. I look at it as our global sensory processor. And the reason for that is if we look at sound vibration, not neurological sensation, I am going to be able to address with a variety of different therapies that I use to send the vibration to the very sensory systems. And most of those senses can be stimulated by vibration through the ear itself. Then if we have that premise, those three pieces, what I do is I start everyone with what I call my diagnostic evaluation for therapy protocol. It is a test battery that determines if, when, how long, and in what order any or all of the various types of sound-based therapies can be appropriately applied. I'm credentialed in 20 of them, and I designed something called the Tree of Sound Enhancement Therapy that is used as a developmental flow chart for the correct administration of those types of therapies. And so from my test battery, I put together a protocol of which therapies will work for that individual to make a progressive change in their ability to self-heal. So the types of therapies I would look at, according to my tree, because everything I talk about is tree-related for me, the seed of the tree is going to be our body rhythm patterns, things like our heart rate, our breath stream. The root system of the tree is going to be related to one type of hearing sensitivity. I identified four types, so the root is one type. And through my testing, I will determine if they have that type, and then it's very important to begin somewhere along the line that type of therapy. If we move up into the trunk of the tree, is what I call listening training programs. Whereas the root systems concept is modeled after Dr. Guy Berard's work, the trunk of the tree is modeled after Dr. Alfred Tomatis' work. There are a variety of therapies that I will do at both of those two levels. The trunk of the tree is really how you function. So it's going to definitely involve your response to sound around you as well as through bone conduction. But then importantly, as we move up that trunk, we're going to introduce a microphone piece because the microphone is going to help create the feedback loop to the ear and bring stability in how you function. If we move up the tree into the lower leaves and branches, that's going to be what I call auditory processing, but it's not the central auditory processing that we talk about in audiology. It's functional auditory processing. So it's going to be more skills like memory and discrimination and sequencing, those types of things that then lead the way towards the upper leaves and branches that are going to be the academics and the communication skills. But because my byline is learning, development, and wellness, the tree piece itself is learning and development, and I super embed that tree into the soul of the head because it is our voice that tells us the most about how the body is functioning. So we have the voice, the ear, the trunk, and the brain is going to be the leaves and branches portion. So well, my testing figures that piece out.
Our audience is very result-oriented, and there's a lot of questions coming in about that. Is this more than hearing loss? What kinds of results? Tell us some of your case studies.
Sure. Yes, I am no longer, this is not hearing related anymore. This is everything is sound and vibration related. Hearing is only addressed at the root system. And I have, like you, Sherry, I've got so many cases of people that talk about their changes. I actually put one into a book form called Every Day a Miracle, Success Stories with Sound-Based Therapies. At the end of my book, Sound Bodies Through Sound Therapies, I also have some studies of everybody starting with my diagnostic assessment and then moving through the changes. So because I say I work with people of all ages and all issues, I the spectrum of types of issues. I work from severely autistic to people with various types of wellness challenges. And then, again, everybody starts with this testing so I can move forward. So I would say about right now, 60% of my population is on the autistic spectrum, but an autistic spectrum of all ages. I think my oldest autistic person was 48 years old to date. I have learning disabilities. I have Williams syndrome, Down syndrome, attention deficit disorder, chromosome imbalances, and then a variety of different like reading disorders like dyslexia, and moving into the wellness pieces, I've had stroke survivors, fibromyalgia. After a while, I don't even look at diagnoses. Diagnoses aren't what's important to me anymore. It's the sound energy. So if people are interested in cases, I remember, let's start on my autism spectrum. I remember presenting to a parents group.
Looking at your testimonials on your site, the people who are watching us, we're on your site and we're looking at your testimonials.
And what would they like me, do they want me to talk about my testimonials on my website?
Well, one of the things that somebody's mentioning, obviously she already knows you, is she says you helped with being able to help her kids communicate and more understand language. So they're interested in things like that.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm going to do now with talk about this one person where I had been presenting to a parents group for autistic children. And the mother said to me, I'm letting you know in advance that I'm not going to be staying. I have to go coach my child's soccer team. So I said, thank you very much for coming. And she was still there by the end of my presentation. And I no sooner said my last word when she jumps up. She says, oh, my gosh, you're exactly what I need. I'm going to call you tomorrow. Well, we began this lovely road together. She did call me the next day. We set up a time when her child, at that time I didn't have the diagnostic evaluation designed as I do today, but her child came. He needed a root system therapy first. He was a two-year, two-month-old little boy who was a head-banging autistic child who had to wear a helmet so that his head wasn't bashed. He only had about three or four words in his ability to speak. And so when we started this root system therapy, what I loved about it was the mother was going to keep a copious journal. She would just sit there writing down everything for me. And by the end of 10 days, which is what that therapy takes, her child went from this head-banging autistic child with only four or five words to be able to say to being able to speak in three- and four-word utterances, no longer needing the helmet, wasn't reacting to the fluorescent lights overhead, and was beginning to be able to look at her in the eye and, you know, realize that mom was somebody special. And what was really cute was by the end of the first week, mom had started to recognize, at the end of 5 days, mom had recognized that there was something major going on, but dad didn't want to accept it. By the end of 10 days, dad says, well, I guess I got to now accept it because look at him now. So in those days, I didn't have the ability to do home programs. So they weren't able to come to me immediately because I encourage people to come start, if I suggest this, to start the second program that I did for them within 6 weeks of finishing the first one. And so they did a home program, but they came back to me in 4 months. And we started a trunk of the tree therapy. And what was really exciting about that one was by the time he got the basic program of that approach is you do two sets of 15 days of listening for 2 hours a day, whereas the first one that they did, you do a half an hour in the morning and a half an hour in the afternoon for 10 days. So with this second one, by the time he started the second 15 days, he was not only speaking in full sentences, but he was able to, and here he is now probably about 2 years, 7 or 8 months old, he was able to not just tell me what the alphabet was, what words started with it. If you said, tried to confuse him, he could tell you, no, you were wrong. He could tell you what the alphabet letters were, but more importantly, what those sounds were within words. And then he was moving on to the states. And so by the time he was 2 years, 9 months old, he was telling me what the states were, what the capitals were, what state was above it or below it, what president was born in that state. It was just like, whoa. So his mother got very excited about what we were doing and began a talking circuit at the time. And so she was presenting once, and she would occasionally, whenever I was free, would say, could you come with me? And I was at one of those, and the father came over to me. And he said, Doreen, I don't think we're going to do any more of that trunk of the tree therapy. And I looked at him and I said, oh, no, why? We can't stop now. We're moving ahead so quickly. He goes, because he's losing his savantness, meaning that he would just put his son up there and he could rotely say all these things. But now he was communicating. Now he was talking to people. He was socializing with other children. So the dad was teasing me, but by the time this child was in kindergarten, he had an aide, was fully conversant, really doing well, and by first grade on, he's never needed any of the therapy since then. I have other cases like that, too. The important thing, which the person asking about the development of speech and language skills, is that what I do is repattern how the body functions as its responsiveness to sound. What I point out in my new book, which is called The Cycle of Sound, A Missing Energetic Link, is I talk about how the process within this subtle energy system has to be balanced for us to function well. And so my therapy protocol puts together the design to be able to pull the person into a place so that this natural self-healing can move forward. And if you pull into place how they process and perceive sound, rhythm, patterns that will overlap into patterns of speech and rhythms of language and help you move through that process so that it comes naturally. The one other piece, in addition to speech and language, is reading. So I'll never forget the day I had a 16-year-old come in to me and say, Doreen, thank you. Guess what I did last night? I went home and read a book cover to cover for the first time in my life. He was so ecstatic. It was really sweet to see. It's not that I taught him any reading skills. What I did was simply provide the body an opportunity to put those pieces together that he was able to figure it out by himself. So that's where I think my approach is so different. I'm not sitting there teaching somebody how to read. I'm not teaching somebody how to speak and develop auditory processing skills. I'm providing the body a chance to begin that self-healing process.
I have two questions from the audience, and then I have a question. This is from Colleen. Can you actually reverse Down syndrome, like eliminate the extra chromosome? How would that work?
First of all, I don't cure or treat diseases, but I can't say I would reverse anything. I think I've certainly helped people with Down syndrome. I have gotten them more, according to the parents, I don't have this documentation in paper yet, according to their parents, their ability to use language better is improved, their ability to socially communicate better. Is improved. I think you, Sherry, have done some work, which I have also used with my cases, where we try to support the muscles of the body and help chromosomally, but I don't have that in any kind of a documented format. So So I've certainly helped an awful lot of people on the Down syndrome spectrum, including Williams syndrome. Williams syndrome, the person typically has the features of a child with Down syndrome, but very often are very gifted musically. And while they're gifted musically, they're hypersensitive to sound. I have numerous clients with Williams syndrome that have told me repeatedly that my approach for their child is what really has given their child an awareness of the world being able to function.
The next question, boy, this is a biggie. This is from Mark. From your experience, how do you understand how sound healing, synthesizing acoustics, voice, healing effects of toning and singing, created with the intention to provide healing?
Would you repeat that? I'm not sure I understood that.
Can you ask? From your experience, how do you understand how sound healing, acoustic voice, and healing effects of toning affect and create the intention to provide healing?
I don't know about the intention piece, but in this current book, The Cycle of Sound, I introduce a concept called ototoning. Oto meaning the sound coming from the ear. And if we talk about this subtle energy system, the voice, the ear, and the brain that has to stay resonant and whole for us to function and be in balance resonantly as much as possible, what ototoning does as the final piece for people who have needed my sound-based therapy protocols and for those who seem to be fairly well together can use, it takes the sound from the ear and tells you what your body wants at that moment in time to feel best, so to speak. And then the technique I introduce as ototoning uses that sound with an approach of vocalizing that sound to the body and resonating it through your whole body, through your bone response, your circulatory system, all those types of things that resonate. And at the end of the session, it's a very powerful time. It's a very powerful response. So you're not intentionally doing anything other than telling you what the body needs, using that sound and balancing the body that way. An experience that I'll share on myself that I include in the book is I had to have some testing done that included injecting in me some pretty serious chemicals. And I'm very sensitive to just about everything. So I was really knocked out by this in my body, and it was really taking me a number of days. And I was doing bioacoustics. I was not getting as far. I mean, I was making change, but I wasn't getting as far as I wanted to. I was talking to my son. He goes, "Well, Mom, have you used your own approach yet?" And I said, "Oh, no, I forgot that." You know, you never think of yourself. I said, "I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to do my stuff. I'll call you back later." So I started ototoning, and I had talked with a friend of mine, Don Campbell, who had also was telling me to introduce color into what I was doing, visualizing color. So I tried that, and so all I was seeing was black. I kept seeing black. I was doing this more. I was doing it for about 5 minutes when I started to see this strip of color go across the middle of my vision. And I thought, "Oh, that's interesting." And over a period of time, this color opened up further, and I was beginning to see it change to other colors. And then it was beginning to take over as I was still using the same sound that I had was toning to myself. And I shared this with my staff the next day, and they said, "Dorian, do you realize what you were doing?" And I said, "No, what was I doing?" And they said, "Well, you just went through the chakras. Color, you started at the base, and you came up, and you went right into pushing it out of your system." I said, "Oh, my God, that's so cool. I totally didn't associate that." But I felt better at the end of it. I was more energized. I didn't feel like I was filled with toxins. I just felt alive again. So it was a very powerful experience. It really said, "Oh, I have to do so much more with this." So as far as the voice, I feel the voice tells you what and how you're functioning. And so with ototoning, I'm taking the sound that your ear is telling you it really wants at that moment and putting it back into the body with this toning effect is how I look at it. So I don't think about using the mind. The mind in some ways can enhance, but it can also put a stopgap on things, which is what vibrationally through sound, and I identify that with my testing, I can see where the stopgaps sometimes have occurred.
We are looking at your new book, The Cycles of Sound. I love this turquoise and purple together. I want to ask a question to sort of bring all this together. In our journal, the Journal of Bioacoustic Biology, early on, you did an article for us integrating the therapies that you do with vocal analysis. Can you talk about how you put all of that together and what the results were?
Yes, I'm assuming you mean the one that you published that I presented to the Acoustical Society of America. I'm assuming it's that one. That was the Davis Addendum to the Tomatis Effect. Before I did that one, I had asked you to collaborate with me on a project that I also presented at the American Speech Language Hearing Association. I'm forgetting the year on that one. And what we did with your help, I took bioacoustics, vocal analysis, and I used otoacoustic emissions from the ear, and I was able to analyze, I had to find a common denominator coming from the ear with the voices and the frequencies in the voice. So I found that common denominator, and what I found to me was just phenomenal. I found at least one correlation for 50 people, is what I did my initial work on, 50 people, and I was able to take only 1,000 frequencies from the ear, but 10,000 frequencies from the voice, and in the voices, we know we only take 24 out of the 10,000 frequencies, and in the ear, I was taking 30 out of 1,000, and within those 30 and 24 frequencies, I found at least one frequency that was the same. I think that's kind of really unusual in research to be able to find a 100% correlation. And of course, you know, I continue to do that, and I've now done many more. I think the last one I talked about was about 75 people, but I've done more than that. So that's what I did, and I presented that as a possibility of making this early on development of the voice, ear, and the brain connection. And then I introduced it at the Acoustical Society as the Davis Addendum, and that's what I think we published in the Journal of Bioacoustics Biology.
I think what it verifies is that we can look at the body many different ways, through the ear, through the voice, through the eye, through the skin, through x-rays, through, you know, we're all looking for the same thing to see where we ought to start in helping people heal. But that brings up the next audience question, that if someone came to you, could you describe the steps from beginning to end? Do people have to come to you? Do you have to go to them? Do you travel? There's several questions like that, and I'm just trying to put them all together. If somebody came to you, brought their child, what would the steps look like for their child, not just the diagnostics part, but what would the child be going through?
Sure, that's a great question. Thank you for asking it, or a combination of you. Everyone has to have my diagnostic evaluation. Right now the limitations are that I'm the only one who is administering that testing. Yes, people come to me from around the world to my Secasana, New Jersey office, but I also do travel, and the four areas of the United States currently that I repeatedly go back to are Chicago, L.A., Dallas, and I'm occasionally in Manhattan if the people don't want to travel over here to New Jersey. I'm typically back in an area every 6 months or so, and they can look at when I'm coming and contact us to try to make a scheduled appointment. Recently, I was asked to go to Caledonia, Michigan, because of a severe client that they had there. So I'm now combining my Michigan and Chicago in a cycle. So when I'm in Chicago, I'll be over Michigan. What I do is when I'm at an outreach location, I do what's called a modified diagnostic evaluation that I can get enough information to put together this protocol. Then I come back to New Jersey, and with my staff, we put together programs for what you need. So if you need, for example, a root system and a trunk of the tree therapy, we can send those to the person at their house. Everything I do now, you can listen at the home. The only time that I need to be involved in the next step of the process is when I'm in an area and we're doing bioacoustics, definitely. Then I just have to make sure I get the voice print beforehand so I can do the tone trials and the analysis when I'm there with them in person in those locations. We set the tone box, and the person would then be listening at home until I return at that given site. Everything can be done at home for the most part, except for those two pieces. There is a possibility that someone is very interested in my approach and is trying to help me bring it to market into a simpler format so that eventually we can train either therapists using the Davis model of sound intervention or sound body wellness practitioner credentials is what I'm hoping for. If people are interested in that, they can just email me through the website or personally ddavis@thedaviscenter.com, and I would put you into our list of being informed about that when and if I can get it together, hopefully within the next 2 years. So there are ways that as I'm moving forward, I am working very diligently to try to put this into an easier format. So it's the limitations are not just me being the only one to do the testing.
Okay, two more questions. One, a very simple one. How do you measure the otoacoustic frequencies from the ear?
Oh, that's very easy. Somebody put that all together for me. In audiology, we have equipment that measures that. It's called spontaneous otoacoustic emission testing. It's not as easy to find anymore. Fortunately, I have my equipment from years ago because audiologists don't use it. People really don't know why we have it, although I feel like it's a way to look at a wellness imbalance. But in audiology, we have it now designed into diagnostic testing, which is not what I'm using. I use the spontaneous diagnostic testing, means we're looking and measuring. We send a sound in, it gets bounced back, and what does that mean as far as the flow of sound from the ear to the brain? And so we can tell information about hearing function, perception, and a lot of other issues as a result of that testing. I'm using the automatic one that just is there. It's around you all day long. It's something that helped Sherry begin her whole skill set years and years ago, so it's there, and I measure it that way. My ototoner device, which I don't have on the market yet. I'm hoping out by next year we'll just capture that and tell you what your sound is versus having to listen to it for yourself right now, which is the way you have to do it.
I have noticed on Medlars, which is a government database, that they're using otoacoustic emissions to diagnose pancreatic and liver disease, and that's kind of as far as they've gotten with it. But you've taken it light years beyond that.
Yes, but are they using it spontaneously or are they using it diagnostically? That's the important difference. I thought they were using it with diagnostic.
They are. If this sound is coming back out of the ear, that means
yes. This
is the disease. And I think they took the idea from beaming a sound to a piece of metal and seeing if there were any minuscule structure faults in it. So
mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing. John Hopkins University started that years ago, and it's just not caught on because I think people really don't understand it the way you do.
The only other person there are two people. One's in Texas, but he's not doing the exact same thing I'm doing. He's looking at different perspective. There's only been one researcher that I'm aware of, and that's from the University of Southampton in England, who was putting together what he considered a bio-identifying system for airports versus, you know, iScan and some of the other types of things that they do. And he wasn't being able to find it reliable. And that makes sense to me because it's really telling you wellness. It's not going to be like a identifier of you every single time for the rest of your life. I feel it's just telling you where your major issues are.
Well, I want you to talk about your book, and then we have a couple of questions about having you as a speaker or doing individual workshops. So we're looking at your book, The Cycles of Sound. Tell us why people need to buy that book and where they can get it, because I couldn't find it on your site.
Oh, yes, I haven't listened. It really literally just came out. Right now it's available through newpathwayspress.com, and as of last week it was also on amazon.com. I will put it up on my site as soon as I can. We're just really a very small organization, so I don't have tons of staff working for me, and I'm not the best proficient at my website, which is horrible, but that's the truth. I'll get there, though. The new book itself is, I'm very excited about it, and I needed to write it in preparation, believe it or not, for my next book, The Cycle of Sound, A Missing Energetic Link, tells my journey as coming into the field of sound, and then it looks at my concepts that I told you about with the Davis model, the tree of sound enhancement therapy, the diagnostic evaluation, and then ending with otoacoustic emissions. It talks about ototoning and the importance of being in silence versus noisy environments so you can tune into your body and regenerate your body in silence. It talks about the systems and the vibrational patterns of the body, but also then goes into subtle energy, because really subtle energy is what we don't know. You know, if you think about subtle energy systems, you're comparing it to things like chakras, acupuncture meridian points. Those are all energy systems that we have that need to be balanced. Well, this is just one more, and I feel it's becoming an extremely important one. The book also then talks about sound in the body, natural energy balances, cell communication. It then moves into the voice and how important the voice is for each one of us. You can hear things from the voice, Sherry, that others can't. What I listen for is their voice quality, their patterns, their rhythms, their tonality. And I can tell a lot about whether I need, if I've made change, I listen for change. For the first things I listen for when somebody comes back to me is what is their voice telling me. I certainly include human bioacoustics in the chapter on the voice and the importance of it. I include Dr. Tomatis's work and his work on the voice. And then I go through the voice-your-brain connection, the subtle energy, and by pieces. And I end the book with telling people how to actually do this ototoning technique and prepare them for when, I hope next year, the actual device will come out. And the reason why I say I needed this book written, because I'm in the process of writing a book called Say It With Sound, Hum, Harmonize, and Heal, and it's going to be a much simpler book. It's going to be a book for the lay people. So I'm working on that one, and even though this one is just hot off the presses. But it's an exciting time. It's where the future is, and it's a way to really advance the concept of sound and vibration and the impact of sound on the body. You asked about coursework. I've been asked by the Open Center in Manhattan to be a part of their Sound and Music Institute. So the last weekend in October, I am teaching a weekend course in the foundations of sound-based therapies. I'll be going through in that course. I'm very excited about it because it's making me really focus on it. Going through the sound and the acoustics of the body and the ear, but then moving into the various types of therapies. The person will get to experience those types of therapies. And then we'll end on Sunday with me teaching them ototoning as a tool to go home. And I'd also consulted on a movie about the possibility of sound being used as a healing technique called Condition, and I'm trying to work it so that the members of that class will be able to see the movie Condition on that Saturday night of the class at the Open Center. So I'm very excited about that. I want to be able to expand this concept so I can be doing more workshops, more seminars. It's really what I want to retire to when, you know, I know that my test battery and such are designed to the part that I can step back and allow that to happen, because it's a full body experience. I define in this book the difference as I see it between sound healing, sound therapy, and sound-based therapy. To date, my work was always about sound-based therapy, and I define that as using sound wave energy patterns with special equipment, specific programs, modified music, and or specific tones or beats, and importantly, the need for which is identified with testing. But my new work with auto-toning, I say, bridges the gap, and now it goes back to sound healing. So auto-toning is a form of sound healing. And I'm very excited about that, because now the whole thing just resonates together.
We have an incredible question, that, well, two, but this one is incredible beyond belief, and I hope you can answer it. How has conventional medicine failed the children that you help?
Oh, boy. Let me put it this way. Conventional medicine, as conventional education, has walked down certain pathways. What I feel we in the field of energy can do is to formulate where those issues are at our core cellular level, repattern that, and then if we need to use core medical or core educational systems, we can build on that. But I feel each one of us needs to start vibrationally at our center core. I've been really excited recently. I was asked to be on the advisory board for a product that deals with in-uterine sound, because that's where it starts. We are sound resonant at conception. We move forward from there, and because everything resonates. And so we have to begin to look at that. I have also been excited that I've been asked to connect with a Harvard researcher who is actually a physician, an MD, who has done research with kids on the autism spectrum. And she recognizes the value of what I do. And so I'm hoping moving forward that the medical field and the educational field will become more open to thinking outside of the box, being able to look at the future involving vibrational medicine, energy medicine, to complement and or supplement what they're doing.
Questions keep pouring in here. This one is a doozy. Do you think vaccinations have created some of the problems that you're seeking to help?
Vaccinations, as with anything, like any medication or anything in the world, has its own frequency. And if you are weak in that frequency, it's going to impact you at that resonance and can change us. So I believe, because I've seen it in the voice analysis that I've done of many of these kids, that some of the toxins have definitely been pinpointed. What we as humans do is we block out. We learn to function in what we're put into. And so for me, when I'm typically doing a child where we're looking for on the autism spectrum, let's say, who may have been impacted by vaccinations, I don't often see it until the third round, because I have to peel away the layers to get to the underlying core. So it's usually on the third set that I'll start to see some of the underlying core issues that were vaccinated related. So my answer to that is we are our own resonant frequency, and not everybody's going to be knocked off balance from it, as with anything else, whether it be aluminum or other toxins or even food allergies, you know, those kinds of things. We're each one of us going to react independently, which is why my approach is all individual-based.
I'm going to sidestep something here a minute. we do have a pre-vaccination software program that we could use, but you know, here's another question. Do you believe that sound is being used in any kind of detrimental effect as weapons, or have you been asked to work with any of the harp frequencies that are being put out?
Before I answer that, I'll just say that your pre-vac program is great, and I've used it at birth. As soon as my grandkids were born, I have used pre-vac on each one of them. So I have a better feel for whether Grandma has to take charge of making change for my grandkids. So it's a wonderful program. Sound has been used as weapons long before we recognized what sound can do. Think of the samurai warrior that created sound and could knock their opponent more or less vibrationally downward so that they could take advantage of that. If you think back to Ayn Rand's book, I think it was The Fountainhead, but it could be wrong, the one where the people are sitting in a bleachers in a field, they got goats sitting out there, and the sound is blasted to the goats, and the goats vibrationally are then just, they die. We know sound is there. Have I been asked to be involved? I can't directly say whether or not I have, but I think sound is a potent weapon.
For good and bad. Doreen, we're running out of time. We only have a few more minutes left. Can you tell people about your site and how they can get in touch with you if they want your services or they want you to speak? You have 4 minutes.
Thank you. Our website is either thedaviscenter.com or my own personal one, which I haven't kept up on, is Doreen Davis, D-O-R-I-N-N-E, Davis.com. You can call our office in Secasunna, New Jersey. It's 862-251-4637. That's 862-251-4637. You'll get to talk to Nancy, my wonderful manager. My email is ddavis@thedaviscenter.com. I also have a CBS radio show on Tuesdays at noon on newskyradio.com that you can listen to. I often have, I've been trying to have my clients call in, even though it's at noon, I have my past clients call in at 12:30 to 12:45 to give information about what their stories are, and you'll learn about other things as well. My new book, The Cycle of Sound, A Missing Energetic Link, is available at newpathwayspress.com or amazon.com. And I have four additional books. Sound Bodies for Sound Therapy is available on Amazon or on my website. It's been around for a while, but it's still the most basic one that's out there. I was planning on redoing it. But it's still so together that I think I'm just going to add some additional chapters instead. And I'm trying to think, as far as reaching out for me for speaking, yes, I'm always interested, willing to present. You just have to reach out to me, and hopefully it'll fit into my travel schedule, which gets quite busy. Am I forgetting anything?
Well, I'm going to put up how to contact you. I think that's on the home page, numbers. So we have.
And of course, I am listed under bioacoustics practitioners.
Absolutely, on our map. And you do a lot of innovative things even with bioacoustic. Doreen, thank you so much for being with us. We'll have you back after I've read your book, and I can pick your mind again. What's going on with that? And anytime you're doing a book, please let us know. For those of you with us on Blog Talk Radio and on WebEx with Sound Health Options, thank you for being here. Remember that we have the recordings of two of our shows about the software for bio diet, about all the neurotransmitters that controls your weight, and the other one that we just did yesterday about allergies. thank you for being here, and Doreen, you've been a great guest.
Thank you, Sherry. I really enjoyed it.
And to all of you, thanks for listening.